Welcome, one and all, to episode 8 of 2018 of the DC Breeze. My name, is, of course, is Greg Esser, and I've got a podcast today that is a solo cast, so you will be getting used to the rich tonalities of my voice. I don't have a counterbalance, and for that I apologize, but there is a lot of good content here. First, we talk about the standings in the AUDL East. I did so a little bit on the last podcast, but today I go a little deeper. We have more action that has occurred. And despite the Breeze's best efforts, the Rush are still running away with that Eastern Division, but the middle of the pack, very intertwined, very turbulent. I'll talk about all those scores in just a moment. In addition, on the podcast, I'm going to go through in detail the most recent game where the Breeze knocked off the Rush, a game that didn't have very many consequences for the regular season. I mean, the Breeze very much needed the win, but it's not like they're going to pass the Rush in the standings, but one that gives a certain sense of confidence of the 2018 iterations of these two squads, because they are very likely, should the Breeze make the postseason, to match up in the postseason. It'll probably take place in Toronto. In fact, I guess it definitely will take place in Toronto. There's no way the Breeze could pass their 10-1 record at this point. But that little bit of confidence beating them here, why should the field matter? Why should the latitude matter? Important win, nonetheless. And so I'll be talking through that huge victory, details, my observations, different players on the Breeze in the latter part of the show. I do want to run through our sponsors here briefly before we begin. And that is to say, thanks so much goes out to Papa John's Pizza. They've got that Breeze 50 half-price online order code after Breeze wins. Thanks to Spectrum Management, Port City Brewing Company, Oak Creek Ultimate Apparel, Murphy's Grill, American Ultimate Academy, and Universe Point Cleats. Also thanks to Cobalt CRM Solutions and our nonprofit partners, Spirit of the Sport, the American Equity Invite, and ForestPlanet.org. So then let me kick it off here on the top by talking about that turmoil in the East. Four teams in the hunt for the last two playoff spots, the right to battle each other and then go up to Toronto and try to take down the Rush. New York with the most potential energy out of those group. They sit at 4-4, but they've got six games to play. And so they're a real threat to the Breeze's playoff prospects this year. The Breeze are in line in third right now with a 5-4-1 weird tie. Philly, the bottom of the four teams, I'm not going in order here just to confuse you more. Philly sitting at 4 wins, 5 losses, and 1 tie. And then Montreal in that second place spot right now, the potential energy, one greater game to play than the Breeze have, but a 5-4 record. So what does this all really mean? I think looking at these things, you know, teams with 4 and 5 wins, that certainly 8 wins gets you into the playoffs, and 7 is a pretty good chance of getting into those playoffs. So I'm looking at the future schedule and what the Breeze have to play, and I'm plotting, how do the Breeze get 2 wins out of this? And I think I said so much last week as really tough road trip coming up this weekend, 2 away games, the first one at Toronto, that looks pretty tough to win, even in light of the recent Breeze victory over Toronto. It'll be a good warm-up, get the strategies, learn whatever it takes to play that game on the road, how to get your legs under you, how to get in the right mentality in a packed-out Toronto house. Important in many facets, but and it would be a big win, but not the important game to win. The important game to win, and why the Breeze might even consider saving legs should that game turn into a blowout or something else, is because the following game, to get to 7 wins, to guarantee 2 wins on the season, the Breeze have to beat Ottawa. 2 more games to play. They both happen here in the district. The first one against Philly, I think that's looking like the other game the Breeze have to win to get to 7. Final game of the season, it'll be against New York. We know it'll be a nail-biter. Should they win that, they get 3 wins in the remainder of the schedule. 8 wins overall in the season, and I think that is great to make the playoffs and maybe even guarantee that home playoff match, especially by beating New York there at the end. New York's road, they've got an Ottawa game, they've got a Philadelphia game. I'm assuming New York's going to be able to take care of business in those ones. They've been able to do so far this year against those two squads. In fact, they also play at Philadelphia at the end of the season, maybe a little tougher to go on the road, but again, I'm assuming New York's going to be able to do that. That'll put them at 7 wins on the year. They've got 2 games against Montreal and 1 here in D.C., That's why it's important for the Breeze to take that game away, the one that's here against here in the district. But those Montreal games will be critical to seeing whether they run it to 8 or even 9 wins if they can sweep that Montreal series. But in doing so, they would knock Montreal back a peg or two. Because Montreal, 2 New York games and a Toronto game, if all 3 of those turn into losses, they've got to beat Philly and Ottawa just to get to that 7-win season. Philly, I haven't talked about them yet. They are in the Breeze's same boat with only 4 games left to play. If they beat the Breeze in D.C., a tall drink of water, if you will, that would put them back at the 500 mark. They've also got a game against Montreal in Philly and New York games, both in New York and in Philadelphia. That final New York game of the season with Philadelphia, a reschedule of an earlier rainout game this year between those 2 squads. So even though the Phoenix are still in that conversation, I'm thinking that's a little bit tougher of a schedule. New York's proven that they can take care of Philadelphia already in the season. That Breeze game, maybe I shouldn't be counting on that so much as a guarantee, because those 2 squads did tie earlier in the year. It wasn't Philadelphia. So hopefully that 2-3-point advantage of going and playing at home will be in the Breeze's court for that game. But anyway, kind of talking a lot of circles here about the schedule, but I think it is very interesting. I'm counting Ottawa out. Maybe I shouldn't do that. They are still on the schedule of Montreal, and that's been a very close, contested rivalry up north all season. So even more challenging to Montreal to get that win, be it at home in Montreal, against Ottawa. In short, Breeze have to get to that 7 or 8-game plateau. And in order to do it, they've got to go through Toronto and Ottawa this weekend on the road, huge road trip, and then return home and take care of business against Philly and, hopefully, New York. Start up the conversation. I am on Twitter. The DC Breeze are on Twitter. Find us there. Keep this conversation rolling. Let's see some speculation. Let's see a cheer on the Breeze as we go into this final month of the season, final fourth of the schedule. I'm going to grab a sip of water, hand it over to the Broke Royals to play us in today before I get into the meat, the main event of today's podcast, as I talk through that incredible game, that incredible win against Toronto Rush. So I watched that Toronto Rush DC Breeze game in full when Toronto Rush came to Washington 2 weeks ago on Saturday the 9th. It was a game where the Toronto Rush came out firing. They scored 3 breaks, I think, in the first 5 or 6 points, certainly by the end of the first quarter. And the Breeze kind of took the rest of the game, including an overtime, to make up that difference. That's how long the grind took. Slow breaking, methodical breaking back. A slower, I would say, Breeze play style than we've been accustomed to this year. Lots more unders. Rowan McDonald dealing with a hamstring issue coming into the backfield. Very interesting to see him with 8 assists and 2 goals. An odd stat line for him, but still MVP worthy. I've been talking up that cause. Maybe this rounds out his highlight reel. He's got the blocks. He's got the deep cuts, the big ups. But now he's got some pretty throws as well. 8 assists on the day and only 2 turnovers and 72 throws. Something pretty incredible in its own right. But he's in the backfield and he's got a hamstring problem or injury that I've actually heard is on the mend. So that's good news going forward. But he's leaning into a lot of his cuts, almost looking very LeBron James-like as he's leaning outside the 3-point line in these past playoffs. He doesn't need to move a lot. He's got this wingspan. He's got this lean, this intuition of where the other handlers are throwing. He lacks the quickness, and I think that might be a problem, but I'm again, on the mend, hopefully he powered through given the skills he had on this particular day and got the job done. The real advantage that Rowan's bringing from the backfield, as much as he's throwing some big hucks, some pretty-looking hucks that are going in for points, but he's also got all these amazing and creative throws. Look up Rowan's throwing videos on YouTube, and you'll see this guy's got an arsenal. He's throwing bladier looks. He's throwing two-handed dump passes, and it just can't be stopped in the backfield as he finds other players that then get more creative looks and more open looks because he's throwing so creatively himself. Scattered here, as my observations were, the Breeze offense playing this shorter game. And I would also say that their defense was playing a little bit differently than we've seen them so far. They were not reliant on a lot of big blocks. They had 9 blocks coming from 8 different players. Swift, the only player with more than one block, he's just netting 2. But it's really about forcing the offense, the Toronto offense, into tighter windows. And it's a team defense. They've got men lurking underneath, taking away the center space. They're poaching the end zone set. Particularly, there are, you know, even though Rowan is injured, he's crossing over for a lot of this game. 8 points on defense, he's still crossing over despite nursing this hamstring. And when he's on the field, they're even playing more of this kind of poaching underneath. Oftentimes, when they get to the red zone, he's poaching underneath in the center and switching on and off of men. And that takes away a lot of the Toronto looks. And I guess I would say by forcing these tight windows, the Breeze are also doing a great job on what their stated game plan is of taking away a lot of the big pool plays that Toronto has. And granted, Toronto roster looked a little weak this week on the road. No Mark Lloyd, no Jonathan Martin, no Andrew Carroll, 3 great players for the Toronto Rush. I guess Lloyd and Martin playing the bulk of their time on defense. But it is still interesting to see the Isaiah Massa-Kellys, and even Ben Burrell, who did have a great game with 4 assists and 3 goals on his own right, but to see them have to come under a little bit more. They're not scoring as quickly on deep passes, and this applies to both teams. You know, the Breeze, maybe for some of their own, switching it up, bringing Rowan into the backfield, and the Rush doing the same just because their pool plays are being shut down. The guy that is still going deep, and the guy that scored 6 goals for the Breeze, is Jeff Wodach. 29 points played. Rowan had 32, by the way. Nathan Pryor, Lloyd Blake also with 29, tying Wodach. But he's got 6 goals, but Wodach we're talking about. 6 goals, streaking deep onto discs. And it's interesting. I was kind of noticing during this game, when they were taking these away shots, I think a Breeze of a past era with a Daniel Selwyn taking the throw, or a Markham Schaffner taking the throw, or an Alan Kolick taking the throw. Some of these big arcing, wraparound-style hucks that curve out of bounds, kind of come back into bounds, a lot more passes, a lot more goals and hucks being thrown directly overhead. And Wodach has mastered this skill, reading discs over his shoulder, getting up at the right time, and it's just a different style of offense. Like, they're throwing over the stack. These are high passes. They're not getting knocked down early, but they are more direct to their targets, straightaway shots. You might say in a smaller field, a amateur field, a lot of times you don't want to be throwing to the same third of the field, but the same third of the field on an AUDL-sized field is still a huge target, and that gives the Breeze the opportunity, gives all these squads the opportunity to throw in the same third and still have 10 yards of accuracy to deal with and hit a streaking offensive cutter as they run away from you. With this kind of understyle play by the Breeze, I would also say there was some more handler scoring. Nathan Pryor is scoring. He's scoring to Norbom, and he's finding the end zone himself. Maxstad is getting in there as well. Bringing up Maxstad again, I would say he continues to be a little bit of a point of concern for me as I look at the Breeze, you know, consider their prospects in the postseason. He's got 3 turns this week and only 14 touches. He's got 30 turnovers on the year, something that I know that has been a big part of his career. He's throwing some of these riskier balls at the end of quarters, and that was no different. He threw some 50-50s at the end of quarters, and that results in higher turnovers. But 30 turnovers is actually more than anyone on the Breeze had last year, and it is only 7 away from being the second highest in franchise history, an untouchable record by Daniel Selwyn in 2013 when he threw 67 turnovers. He was playing so many points and touching so many discs. And granted, it was more games in the season. A lot of different factors contribute. A sloppier offense on the year, a weaker team on the year, a 4-12 team. But Maxstad even getting in that conversation to be most turnovers on the Breeze squad is rarefied air, and you know, and not particularly the thing you want to tout. So anyhow, a little concern there to still see those turnovers. He was playing a little bit fewer points than he has in some of the other games, and maybe that's a way of harnessing in some of those turnovers and being more cautious with the disc. I'll walk through also the end of the game because it was super exciting. I mentioned the 3 breaks early by the Rush. The Breeze are breaking back slowly. End of regulation. Rush are down by 1, and it's a great play that takes the rush into overtime when the rush receiver catches the disc really outside the end zone and steps inside the front of the end zone 3 or 4 seconds on the clock with his back foot, getting the score, no other throw required, sending the game into first overtime where the rush start on offense. For those of you that might not be familiar with the AUDL rules regarding overtime, you've got 5 minutes of overtime, and if you start on offense at the beginning of the first overtime for a second sudden death overtime that kicks in after 5 minutes, you then start on defense. So this is a risk that you start on offense and you really don't want to go to a second overtime because you'll be at a disadvantage. So the rush starting on O instantly face disaster. They have turnovers in their first two possessions. Yeah, there's some great pressure defense, but it doesn't, and Alex Liu particularly, pushing into space, causing that pressure, getting down there on the pools. But the turnovers occur without a definitive block. So, you know, it's a little wet out there, you know, whatever the case may be. Breeze get a big break off the bat. Rush bring it back to tie it up. But it is then Ryan Swift's block on the goal line in the final rush possession, in the final seconds of the game, that prevent that second overtime from even needing to be used. And the Breeze take this one in a walk-off block, and that is a rarity in the AUDL. It was a super exciting game. If you've got a chance, there are two more games this year, as I mentioned before, one against Philadelphia, one, and that's on June 30th, and then one in mid-July, I want to say July 14th. But check out the online schedule, check out the Breeze website, make sure that I'm being honest on that one. These are going to be great games, and that environment, you know, you get moments like that, it is more than worth the price of admission to check it out. There was one other anecdote from the game that I wanted to bring up, and that is that there was a moment when David Shields lost his shoe in the stack playing defense, and then the Breeze got the turnover and proceeded to play a long minute 20 offensive point where David Shields did not put the shoe back on, no timeout was called, played shoeless Shields, and played a focal role on the point. One time getting fouled on the mark, having to walk back, just, you know, looking humorous out there, but getting the job done, skying someone shoeless, you know, make a poster out of that. Was an exciting moment for Shields, an exciting moment, calm, you know, these teams, and for all the players that out there that might be listening, you talk about intangibles, what you can't control. I guess maybe he could have controlled putting back on his shoe, but he didn't even bother, mentally put it out of mind, and cut on his other foot. I don't even truly know, but got the job done without a shoe. So go find yourself some clips of that, or AUDL, or someone, make a great shoeless Shields mashup, because there were enough plays that he was the focal point of during that extended point that you could make some great video. So I've talked a while here. I wanted to get out the podcast today for sure. It is a shorter one because it's just me. But anyhow, out into the ether it goes. Thank you so much for joining me for Hot Air. We'll have another episode in 2 weeks and another playoff update. Should be exciting. Come out to those games. And I will throw in one more little treat for the Hot Air Mega fans. I did a little recording earlier this year at the tryouts thinking one of these episodes I'm going to go a little bit short. I have a hot take from those tryouts. Some former Breeze players make an appearance. Some current Breeze players as they were trying out make an appearance. And I think it'll be a good time. Particularly, I asked some silly questions about what their college mascots were, about how they felt about the move from Gallaudet Stadium to Catholic Stadium, where the Cardinals are the mascot. I went from Bison to Cardinal. So I'll ask that question a couple times and enjoy some outtakes of previous Hot Air annex. Hot Air, recording on the sidelines of the DC Breeze 2018 tryouts, here with Rico Johnson. This year the DC Breeze are moving to Catholic University, where we'll be playing all our games. That's the home of the Cardinals. What's your favorite bird?
The Eagles.
The Eagles?
Yeah.
Is that a fanship for the NFL?
It is.
Yes, you were pretty pleased when the Eagles won it all?
What I remember, yes.
From what you remember, did you go to the parade in Philadelphia?
I did.
Let's change topics. Chunky or smooth peanut butter?
Chunky.
Greg Esser here, standing on the Breeze sideline for 2018 tryout, standing next to David Bloodgood. Say hi, David Bloodgood.
Hi, David Bloodgood.
You were a breakout star in 2017, but this year I'm hearing you're battling some injury stuff.
What's wrong with you?
At Club Regionals last year, I broke my collarbone on a D in the finals, and I was told I was better, and went to LA Throwback and broke it again, so I'm still rehabbing it, I guess, and working with therapy.
But I still see you on the sidelines here. Are you, how are you feeling about the breeze looking at the tryouts today here at Dunbar High School in Washington, D.C.?
I'm definitely jealous I can't play. It looks real fun to be at these tryouts, and there's some good talent out here, so I'm pretty excited to see what they got.
The Breeze are moving from Gallaudet University to Catholic University this year. It will be the place where we play all our home games. Better mascot, bison or cardinal?
That's tough. I mean, there's just a lot of birds out there, and I feel like there's not as many bison, so I got to go bison here.
What was your college mascot?
It was a mountain hawk.
The mountain hawk. A bird.
Yeah, it's actually not even a real bird. Lehigh just picked it because, so I... tough to say.
A fictitious bird,
but there are hawks around, but they're like red-tailed hawks. The mountain hawk is not even a thing, so I don't understand what it's about.
Give me, you're founding a new college tomorrow. Let's play the fantasy game. What is the mascot of your fictional college?
Oh, that's tough. You definitely don't want to go something easy like a wildcat or a bulldog. I have no idea. That's putting me on the spot.
No one said it was going to be easy.
No, I can't pick a bird.
The blue-footed booby.
That's Eric Miner stepping up to the mic here. What's your mascot?
The mascot for this fictitious college will be the blue-footed booby.
For the Bloodgood College?
Yes.
What about the Miner College? Miner College would be a great name for a college. It's like no majors, just minors.
It'd be some kind of falcon. Definitely would be the mascot of choice.
Birds all around. Birds all around. Thanks so much, guys. Greg Esser standing here, hot air, sideline of the DC Breeze 2018 tryout. I walked up to Max Castle.
Hello.
Max Castle, the DC Breeze are moving this year from Gallaudet University to Catholic University. The mascot there is the Cardinals. Is that an upgrade or a downgrade from the Bison?
Might be an upgrade because my high school mascot was a Cardinal.
Also the Cardinals.
Shout out to Calvert Hall. Calvert Hall Cardinals.
Calvert Hall Cardinals, the home of Max Castle. If you had to have a fictional mascot for your, let's say, university, what would it be?
Maybe like Cerberus, like a three-headed dog kind of thing.
A Cerberus?
Yeah, is that a thing?
I'm not deep enough into the lore to know, but that sounds legit.
Yeah, I'm kind of going deep into my pockets here, so.
I like that. Anything else you're really hyped up for the 2018 season right now?
I'm really excited just to be playing again. It's been a big off season for a lot of us, and I think the team's going to look pretty different this year. And the tryouts look pretty good, so we've got a big showing out here.
If there was one activity that you think made your off season the most, either got you in the right headspace or got your body in the right place, what was it?
Probably getting married in September. So I guess that's a little bit of an off season, but that was once in a lifetime amazing experience and. Definitely motivating. I'm like almost like a real adult now. It's weird.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been quite a year for the Castles.
Cool. Well, congratulations. Enjoy the rest of tryouts. Standing on the sidelines for the DC Breeze 2018 tryout, standing here with Nathan Pryor. Nathan, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I am also well. Thank you. Very, very polite of you to ask. Tell me this. In 2018, the Breeze are moving from Gallaudet University to Catholic University to play all their home games. The mascot of Catholic University, of course, is the Cardinal. What's your favorite bird?
Oh, I think a hawk.
A hawk? Is there a particular type of hawk?
Oh. I don't know if I know any particular types of hawks.
What was your college mascot?
Terrapin.
The Terrapin.
Yeah.
Thumbs up, thumbs down on Terrapin. How'd that treat you?
Huge thumbs up.
Huge thumbs
Love
up. If you had to have a university mascot, if you were founding the Pryor University of America, what would the mascot be?
I can't think of any better mascots than the Terrapins.
Sticking with the Terrapin.
Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely.
What else are you excited for in the 2018 Breeze season?
I'm really excited to... just get the season started. I think we're going to have a lot of new faces, which is really exciting. I was one of those new faces last year, and it was a whole lot of fun. And so to keep like building up this youth pipeline that DC has a great, been doing a great job of doing, I'm really excited to see all the tryouts out here.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining me. Enjoy the rest of the tryouts.
Thank you very much.
Greg Esser standing here with John Pressamone, 2018 Hot Air sideline, the DC Breeze tryouts. John Pressamone, not a player in 2017, but a player the previous 3-4 years of Breeze. John, welcome to the podcast of the sideline.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate being welcomed.
Tell me this, the Breeze this year, moving from a field you've played at often, Gallaudet Field, they're moving to Catholic University, where the mascot is the Cardinals. It was the Bisons. Do you think that's an upgrade or a downgrade?
Frankly, in terms of just ultimately speaking, Cardinals are an upgrade because, you know, in the sky, Bison's kind of ground, and I got some beef with that. So,
some beef with Bison. I like it.
Yeah.
Tell me this, what's your favorite bird?
Peregrine falcon.
Fastest bird, fastest animal.
Indeed, yes.
Great, great choice. If you had to have a John Pressamone University of America, let's say, what would the mascot be?
It would be the whooping crane.
Great emphasis on the H in whooping. Thanks so much for joining me. Anything you're seeing out here today you're particularly excited about? Anything you're particularly excited about in 2018?
Hey, there's a lot of young talent out here. A lot of guys really grinding and giving it their all. It's not the best weather, but we're all having a good time. So that's no fun. It's 2018.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Greg Esser on the sideline of the 2018 Breeze tryout, standing here with Austin Bartenstein. Austin, welcome to the Hot Air sideline.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell me this. So the Breeze this year, they're moving from Gallaudet University. They're moving to Catholic University, where the mascot is the Cardinals. What is your favorite bird?
My favorite bird is the state bird. The Cardinal.
The
Cardinal. The Virginia state.
Yeah, because we're in D.C.,
yeah.
Not a state.
Not a state. I just moved here. Come in a little side.
Okay. So you're still remembering fondly the bird of Virginia.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. Tell me this. What are you most excited about, you know, coming out here to tryouts? It's a rainy day, but what are you most excited about in the 2018 season?
I'm excited for new players to play with. I think we had such a great season last year, and I didn't want to see anybody leave, but it's fun to meet new people, and that's why I love tryouts, is you get to meet lots of new folks, really test your best. So 2018 season, I think it's going to be fun to see how we stack up against other teams with a new crop.
Great, and there is a lot of new talent out here today. I'll end on a softball question. Smooth or chunky peanut butter?
Chunky.
Yeah. A chunky guy. Thanks so much, Austin.
Thank you.